Now let's declare the word of understanding as we start to study. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, as a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen?
Amen.
Now that is good. Does it not feel good? Yeah, it feels good. It feels good. You know, you are clearing your heart for the word to enter. So I prophesy to you that that word will enter this evening in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord will answer your question.
Amen.
Say that the Lord will answer my questions.
The Lord will answer my questions.
Say it again. The Lord will answer my questions.
The Lord will answer my questions.
It will make things clear to me.
Now,
David will pray in Psalm 119. Don't miss from Tuesday. We're going to start praying from Psalm 119. Very powerful prayer. David always used to ask, give me understanding and I shall live. That is my confusion right now. The death in my life is because of what? Lack of understanding. So today the word will be clear to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. The book of Revelations. That's one we have been trying to get to for some time. Last time we finally got to it as we began to look at the message of the Lord Jesus to His church. There is something that the Lord Jesus wants His church to know. And I want us to continue by reading again from that book of Revelations. We are going to start this time because we have read it a number of times. I'll just go straight to the area where we require. Let's start from the end of chapter 1 and we'll read into chapter 2. And then we'll find somewhere to stop. Probably read two of the letters today. Or three. We read one last time. Let's start from chapter 1, verse 17. Now John saw the vision of the Lord Jesus, which is described from verse 13 down to verse 16. He answered in verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Therefore, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. He said, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, the Lord said, write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this, and those are the advantages, those are the things that they are doing that are correct. He said, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore remember from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first. Or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place. Or I'm going to close your church unless you repent. He said, yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes amongst these people that have an ear, that's what he was saying, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Let me just read another few, five verses or so, or four verses, and then just add this to it. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life, says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. People say you are poor, but actually you are rich. You think you are poor, but actually you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. He said to them in verse 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And I said in verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Now, please, I want to just read one verse in New Living Translation. In that chapter 2, in verse 5. It says, look how far you have fallen. Okay, let me start from verse 4, sorry. I want to read from verse 4 in New Living Translation. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. That is, the love is shown by certain works. It's not just love in the heart, but there were works that they were doing which showed that they loved the Lord and they loved each other. Those are the things that he said they needed to return to, because they had abandoned those things. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. Now, we have been looking at this issue of the letters, the message that Jesus has for his church. And we are taking this from the book of Revelations, the letters to the seven churches from that book of Revelations. Now, when we began to look, we looked at the fact that, reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that this is how it is with Christians. We must judge ourselves. Let's never forget it. There are three levels we have looked at. One, there's a first level of we examining ourselves, judging ourselves, so that the Lord will not have to judge us. So the first level is that I take my life, I examine my life, I critically appraise my life, even with prayer. Because sometimes the Bible says that a man's ways may look right in his own eyes. A man can deceive himself. He said, deluding your own selves. James was saying, be doers of the word, not hearers only. It's possible to hear and deceive yourself, okay? So that's why you need to pray. So David taught us to pray. That one is Psalm 139. He said, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and check whether there is any hurtful thing inside me. So it's a critical thing that every Christian must do again and again. We must settle down. And like I said last time, make it a yearly thing, okay? Sometimes people are praying. They say, this year, my year of breakthrough. Listen, some of those prayers are unnecessary. See, we have to be careful to follow what the Lord Jesus says, all right? And it says clearly. When he says that, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added. He meant it like that. What he's saying is that if something is not added, you are not seeking the right things. That's all he's saying. This idea of sitting up all night praying because you want something is not a godly way of praying. We have learned the way to pray like Gentiles. Jesus warned us against it. He said, when you come to pray and you're always hammering on what you need, what you want God to do for you, he said, you are praying the way Gentiles pray. He said, how should you pray? You should pray on making sure that the kingdom of God is established in your life around you. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. What am I going to say? That is, we are to seek first the kingdom of God. How do we do that? First of all, in our own personal lives. And we do that by examining ourselves. So at the beginning of the year, you can say that, let me appraise my life last year. How well did I do in my God-likeness, in my Christianity? How well did I do? Not financially. You cannot judge your life the way the world judges itself. You cannot judge how much progress you have made. I give an example as a church. You cannot judge whether you have made progress or not by how much your membership has increased. That is how people derail themselves from following God. When they start judging themselves using wrong parameters. Last year we were 200 in number. This year we are 1,000. It shows we are growing. It doesn't mean you are growing. Like one of my friends will say, don't ever forget, cancer is also a growth. Are you getting my point? Yes, it's a growth. It's a growth. So many people are growing in a disorderly fashion. Okay? So that doesn't mean you are growing. As a ministry, there is a way you will check how well you are doing. I'm not discussing that in details now, okay? But just bear it in mind. There's a way you check your life, but you must do it periodically. Like I said, as a businessman, let me just give us as an example. How do I check how well I'm doing? It is not that I'm making more money now than I did last time. No, that is not it. That can be important, okay? But it's at the bottom of the line for us Christians. First of all, we check how well do we serve our customers. When they review us, what kind of reviews do they give us? When we make promises, how well do we satisfy those promises? How well do we fulfill promises we have made? Yes, we use money because for business people, money is a measure of the transactions you have done. That has to be at the bottom of the line. Okay, so that if you have made 100 million where you used to make 20 million, yet you now have a bad name in town, you have done bad business. How do I know? The Bible says a good name is better than money. You see what I'm trying to say here? But the point I'm making is that Christians, we must appraise ourselves regularly. If you are an academic, I mean as a student, do it. If you are working for government, do it. If you are in a ministry, do it. If you are a wife, do it. If you are a husband, do it. Appraise your life regularly. Why? Because if you don't do that, Jesus will do it. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
And when he does it, he does it in a very, very bad way. Bad in quote. Bad in quote. In that case, he starts disciplining you. For example, you're a businessman, you will start losing money needlessly. You start having problems in business you're not supposed to have. Why? Not because it's wicked, but because it's trying to call your attention. It's trying to call you, listen, what you are doing is not right. So there is the easiest way to learn as a believer is to fill yourself with the word of God. Use those words to pray and use it to check yourself regularly. Do it annually, every quarter. My emphasis again, your prayer is not prayer of, God, where are you? Why has my breakthrough not come? Please don't miss our Bible study beginning on Tuesday. We want to look at Psalm 119 and you will now see how David used to pray. David said, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. The next line now says, now I have confessed or declared my own ways. Are you getting my point? He now said, give me understanding so that I can live. That is, what was he trying to say? Listen, my soul clings to the dust because I cleave to my own ways. So God, revive me according to your promise. And God said to him in effect, as long as you are walking the way you are walking, I cannot revive you according to that promise. That promise is activated by you changing the way you are doing things. So he asked God, give me understanding. Please, be around on Tuesday. Let's see how Christians are supposed to pray. This fighting of enemies, you know, I've told you, is a waste of godly time. It's a waste of godly time. I've gotten to it again. We have to help people. Listen, I've been a Christian for a very long time. And I've been preaching as a student, okay, so that means I've been preaching off and on for close to 30 years now. That's interesting, okay? Close to 30. But constantly for, at least we came to Enugu, this ministry began, that was 2002, thereabout. And I've been doing this for some time. I have never prayed and said all my enemies. It has never happened. Not one time. I'm not dead yet. I'm making progress, trust me. You may not believe it, but I know. So you are wasting your time chasing your enemies. You are wasting your time. God is not afraid of them. You shouldn't be afraid of them. Appraise you. Please, Tuesday, make sure you don't miss the Bible, our prayer meeting, beginning from Tuesday. I want to start teaching the prayer from Psalm 119. Let me not sit on it again. We must appraise ourselves. It's something that we must do. Self-appraiser, periodically. You can't use any other standard to judge yourself. It must be judging yourself with God's word. Very important. It is not what your society says that matters. It is what God says. I said, if we don't do it, God will have to beat us forcefully back into order. And that's one thing we don't want. The correction of God is grievous. That's what the Bible teaches us. So it says, so as to prevent it. When Christians go through trials and temptations, it is always, listen to me, there are two things. One is, there's not two things, just one thing. It is always for correction and for training. I was going to say that, first of all, maybe because of their iniquity, but even then, God is trying to correct them. No matter how trivial it is, anytime you have issues in life, always bow your head and say, Lord, what's going on? It's been a wrong doctrine and an unfortunate thing that we have taught ourselves in Christianity that the devil is our problem. The devil has never been our problem. We'll see, we'll get to it today. You'll find out that Jesus said that you are going to have tribulation for 10 days. Listen, every trial has a time limit from the beginning. That devil, and Jesus said that the devil will cast you into prison. You will have tribulation for 10 days. We read it just now. But the devil could not keep them for more than the 10 days. Every trial is number. The number of days from the beginning, it has been inscribed. What he now said, he said, be faithful until the trial is over. It will end. It will end. It will end. It doesn't stay forever. Forget, oh God, Christians have been wrongly taught. Pursuing enemies all over the place. The devil, the people that say I will not prosper. They don't exist. You see this rubbish, altar versus altar prayer. Please stop it. Now that you have entered here today, you must never leave here praying that nonsense prayer again. Think people have your time in life? With all the problems they have. People have their own problems, though. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many altars have you built against anybody? Is it only the one that your pastor lied to you that you should go and build? Up to you, until time you went to that church, did you ever erect any altar against anybody? Listen, your neighbors are like you too. They have their own issues. Your neighbors are like you too. They have their own problems. It's pastors that get up and corrupt the system and start inciting one man against another. Say, you need to build an altar because there are people that don't want you to succeed. Aren't nonsense. Rubbish, crap, insult on the Lord Jesus. He said, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He doesn't care. The time Christians are supposed to use for self-appraiser, they are using it to pursue imaginary enemies manufactured by pastors. Have you noticed that, Apostle? That pastors manufacture the enemies. They do. They are the ones that manufacture the enemies. My friend, you know, I've told this story many times. His sister came to their place. They live in the U.S. to come and deliver. So the elder sister said, come, let me take you to a pastor to go and pray. He told me, he said, Bank, you see trouble. When this girl arrived in America, she just came to deliver her baby. He said, after visiting that pastor, she's now suspicious of every uncle and every auntie. Why? Because the prayer involved anything that any auntie gave you to eat, anything that any uncle said you should eat, begin to vomit it. We cast it out. We vomit it in the name of Jesus. By fire, Holy Ghost fire. My friend said, he's a believer. He said, when she arrived, it was just normal. Look, my wife was going to deliver. When I finished praying for her, because then she used to go and stay with her mother, all right? I dropped her off with her mom, and I came back to Enugu. So before I left, I said, let us pray. We sat in front of the house. When I finished praying, my wife said, is that all? I said, yes. He said, you pray in a funny way. I said, what else do you want? It's not safe delivery. It's guaranteed. Don't worry. What was the prayer? I told her to bow her head. And then we held hands on the table. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I give thanks for the word. Quoted one or two scriptures. I said, where many people go and they don't return. I told her, I said, you will go there and you will come back safely in Jesus' name. Amen. The prayer did not last 2 minutes. I took my keys, time to go. She said, is that all? I said, what more do you want? No, be safe delivery. What else do you want? She just smiled. She said, you pray funny. She's used to it now. This was years ago. What many people expect is that you begin to pray. Anywhere they tied the altar, I fly. I jam them. I go to your village. And I say to them, die, die, die. Listen to me. Anyone who hangs himself because my wife is pregnant, you will remain hanging for a long time. Trust me. You are going to be hanging for a very long time. You are going to be there for a very long time. And if I find out, I say, God, don't let him come down. I won't jam you. Why should I jam you? I don't have your time. I have work to do, for goodness sake. I was telling you just now that, man, there's a place I preached yesterday. I'm supposed to preach there tomorrow. So initially, I thought it would be yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So when the pastor said, okay, yesterday and tomorrow. I was telling you just now, I said, I was happy. That because as I yesterday night, I was tired. Do you think I have time to jam anybody? That's the point I'm making. I'm too tired to jam you. I need to sleep. This idea of staying up at night, fighting those, look, believe me, when you get back home, that rubbish altar you have there, go and throw it away. It's a waste of time. Your pastor manufactured an unnecessary battle for you. You know why God brought you here today? He wants liberty for you. He's been still feeling sorry for you. Last one you've been praying, God said, Gabriel, Michael, what do you do for this young woman? What do you do for this young man or old man or old woman? Gabriel said, we can't do anything. My guy said, he said, fight. Which fight should I fight? The only problem he has is ignorance. So the Lord now said to Gabriel, move two angels. Tell him to go and listen to Banky this evening. That's why you are here. 1 year of useless prayer. You say you never tire. When you get back home, destroy the altar. Destroy it. Destroy it. My friend said that day, he said, Banky, by the time this girl was done, she had become fearful. He said, are prayers supposed to make you fearful or to give you liberty? You come back out of prayer, you are looking over your shoulders, left, right, and center. Listen to me. How? In Christ Jesus, we are free.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, we are free. In Christ Jesus, we are free.
Amen.
We are seated in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. We are seated in Christ. Our protection is in Christ. Our defense is in Christ. The only problem we have as believers is when we don't walk the way Christ wants. That's all. That's the only problem believers have. That is the only problem believers have. That is the only problem believers have. There is no other problem. It's when we are not walking according to how Christ says we should walk. That's why we declare at the beginning here that I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. That's where our life is going. So that constantly we are walking in a manner worthy of him to please him in all respects. That's the only problem believers have. When we are not walking in a manner that is worthy of Christ, there's no other problem that we have. We'll see as we go. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at this. We're taking an example from these revelations because we see there that Jesus actually watches everything that we do. He does. He does. I said it last time. He's concerned about how you, as a man, a married man as an example, he's concerned about how you talk to your wife in the morning, how you handle your children, how you handle your money. He's concerned. To the woman too, he has a good record. He's watching all of you. He's watching all of us. You know, the other day, you know, after I started teaching along this line and explained that Jesus is our judge, you know, I became careful. There are times I'm sitting, I'm suddenly wondering which part of the room he's sitting in. The fact is that he's that close. He watches us very closely. And he has something to say about everything you do. We discussed it last time. How you spend your money. He doesn't look, he looks and says, look, this expenditure is good. I like it. This one, I don't like it. Don't do it like this next time. That's how detailed about our lives his consent. Apostle Kimite, let's digress more. When you do your financial accounting and you tell him, say, God, I have given you 10%. You will protect me. He gets angry. Say, this stupid boy has come again. Do I look like a mafia don? When did you and I start doing deals? You want to give me any percentage? First, I don't collect percentage if it's less than 100. Yeah, that's Jesus for you. So I don't take any percentage less than 100. It must be completely round, everything. That is what I collect. Say, Lord, so what am I going to eat? He said, what you are eating is my own. Yeah, that's it. What you are eating is my own. So you cannot tell me I've given you a proportion, so I should rest. That's what he's saying to you when he's watching your account book. He said, no. He said, Lord, I have given you this. He said, so who are you giving the rest to? That's the question. When you tell him I have given you this percentage, so he asks you a simple question, who are you giving the rest to? The way I like to illustrate it, happened between my chief and I, those when I was still a resident in Lagos. We sat down in the department and they were talking about ministers driving Mercedes-Benz cars those days. Why should a preacher drive a Mercedes-Benz? Now, just by the way, there is nothing good or bad about it. You know why a preacher would drive a Mercedes-Benz? If he has his money, he can buy it and he can fuel it and maintain it. Once it's not disturbing you with it. That just by the way, all right? It's not a good thing. It's not, this is a car worthy that a preacher should have a good car. There's nothing like that. If he's going somewhere, he needs a car. If he's not going anywhere, he needs bathroom slippers for inside his house. That is all. There's nothing more than that. Let's get some things clear. So that day, my chief and I were talking. At that point in time, she happened to be driving a Mercedes-Benz. So I came to the defense of the preachers. I said, but my chief, you are driving a Mercedes-Benz. And you know what she said? They are servants of God. He said, they are working for God. So I said, but ma, who are you working for? You box a Christian into a corner. He said, I'm working for myself. I said, Lila, you're not working for yourself. It is not allowed. Listen, Christians, you are not working for yourself. It's not allowed. You're working for God. Let's get that clear. Back to what I'm saying. You can't tell the Lord Jesus, I have given you a portion. So he's asking you, who is the rest for? Listen to me. He doesn't take 10%. You know what he takes? How much? 100. You know what that means? Every naira you spent, you have to account to him how you spent his money. These days, when I'm judging myself, I'll say that's a bad use of the Lord's time. I don't say of my time because I don't have any time. Sometimes I think about it, I say, this time, is the Lord happy with this, the way I'm using his time? Because whatever I'm doing, it is his time. It's not mine. It's not mine. So Christians, please stop that. You cannot say this is the Lord's portion of my money. There's nothing like that. Once you say that, he rejects every bit of it. Like Oswald Chambers said, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. So the Lord does not take 99% of your money. It's not complete. It has to be what? 100. And how can he do that? You account for how you spend every bit of it. That's what it means. If he said, this one is for my future, he said, did I not tell you, don't lay up treasure on the earth for your future? Are you getting my point here? I don't want to talk about money now again, all right? But we have talked about it. You can read my book, How to Work for God, Grace to Prosper. I discussed it inside there. God now says, sufficient unto the day is what? So the money I have given you today, let me see how you use it to solve all the problems I have sent to you today. Christians are supposed to learn proper apportioning of resources. That's what Christians learn. Proper apportioning of resources. You can't pay off God with any percentage and say you own the rest. It is not Christianity. It is not allowed. Everything you do, he is watching. Let us assume you say, okay. All right, say, Lord, I get your point. I get your point. But I want to give this percentage to my church. You know what he does? He nods. Say, very good. Why? Because they have to pay staff there. They have to pay the ministers. They have to pay utilities. They have to print. They have to advance the gospel. This is my portion. You know, the Lord said, very good. What about this other portion? Yes, this one, you know, I have responsibilities in this home. It's to take care of my wife, my children, this other person I'm helping. You know what the Lord says? Very good. You are running all of these errands for me. In case you do not know, those children are not yours. They are his own. Oh, they are not your own. Oh, they are not your own. How can they be your own? They belong to who? They belong to God. They are young men and women sent into your home for training in righteousness. Human beings don't have any good instinct in them more than to suck breasts when they are born. Every other thing, they have to be trained. Otherwise, they will do it wrongly. They are inherently selfish. Are you getting my point? Yeah, they are selfish. That's how they are. You and I, we're born like that. Listen, we don't like to share. We're born without the desire to share. So we come into the home. So the mother will now say, that's enough. Give to your younger one. You are learning to share. Once one of my little kids said he was saving money. I said, for what? You know, we had a good talk. For what? He said, maybe help with my school fees. My wife and I will laugh at certain things. Do you know how much you pay for your school fees? So after a long time, I said, right, what are we going to do? At the end of the year, he finally agreed that he would take his money and go and give to the less privileged. So he's going to save for a whole year and give it out in December. Good. It's training. Are you getting my point? It's training. Left to children, everything you eat must be sweet. But you're trained that food is not like that. And that's why God sent those children into your home. They are not your own. They belong to him. So when you're handing them, realize that you are on assignment. Not I'm raising children that will carry my name forward. You don't have a name. Don't be stupid. You don't have a name. You don't have a name. They are God's children. They were not sent to carry your name. God doesn't give you a hoot about your name. You know the interesting part? God doesn't care about the name of Abraham, the name of Isaac, and the name of Jacob. He cares only about one name. What is that name?
Jesus.
What is that name?
Jesus.
I didn't hear you well enough.
Jesus.
He cares only about one name. This morning I was getting angry again. My wife said, I was asking my wife, I said, what kind of thing is this? Why do Christians talk and behave as if God is more interested in any other thing apart from Christ? Say, God will never break a covenant he made with Israel. I said, but he will break the one he made with the church. So once somebody disagrees with Israel, he goes out of political relevance. But when he disagrees with the church, he stays in political relevance. This man, I was just getting angry again. God cares about one name. What is that name?
Jesus.
And that he said, he has sworn that every knee will bow at the mention of the name of Jesus. That's what he cares about. So the children are not being raised to carry your name. Your name is not important. They are men and women of God sent into your house for training. There are things you pass through as a young man. There are mistakes you make. There are children that are not allowed to backslide. Maybe you gave your life to Christ when you were 30. After being a jaguda for 30 years. You know what God has said concerning your children? There's nothing like that. These ones, they will not be jaguda for 1 minute. From the time they are small, they will be good boys and good girls. They will make the small mistakes of children, then you will discipline them for me. You will train them in righteousness from the time they are small. They will grow up fearing me. When you say, people say that some people gave your life to Christ, go and ask Demon Shakarian. He doesn't know the meaning. Go and read the story of Demon Shakarian. He doesn't know the meaning of giving your life to Christ. His life has been in Christ. His father gave it to God before. Demon Shakarian never answered an altar call. The altar calls he answered were to serve God. As whether he's a Christian, the boy he grew up being a believer. Of course, along the line, he must have agreed with the judgment of his father. After all, Kim Kardashian is his cousin. Oh, yes. Those families all came from Armenia. Kim Kardashian with all the madness in the family. You know, when Satan has possessed people, it's easy to know. They are cousins. So I'm not saying that they didn't have a choice. Something went wrong somewhere with those people. I don't know what went wrong. But in his own case, he's been serving God since he was a little boy. And that's what God wants with your own children. So I don't want anybody to tell me that I gave my life to Christ at 25, except for what? I want you to, your life, by the time you wake up, your life is with me. How would that happen? I'm going to make sure that I train your father and your mother. From the time you are small, they are teaching you the word of God. The word of God is a standard in your home. So you see, those children, they are not yours. That's the point I'm making. They belong to him. They are instruments that he wants to use. Can't you see how he did with Jesus and with John the Baptist? The father of John has said that this priesthood must not disappear. John, I'm committing to you the priesthood lineage of this family. God will dumb him again. Are you getting my point? You know, he was dumb at the time.
Yes.
The Lord will return and cuckoo this time around, remove his throat. Cuckoo, collect it, twist the thing, break it. He will never talk again. He said, a body that has prepared for me. So what happened? They said, we need somebody to be a forerunner. Somebody who's coming with the spirit and power of Elijah. All right, good. Go and prepare me a vessel that will carry that child. And that's how God chose Zechariah and Elizabeth. So by the time the announcement was being given, that child was not their own. That child was not their own. That was a servant of God being sent. It was never their own. When Moses was being sent, the same thing. The Bible says that they saw he was a beautiful child. Now, you must know how to decode scripture. When the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that they hid him because he's a beautiful child, you know what that means? Let me just summarize it for you. It means an angel also appeared to him, to them, the way an angel appeared to Manoah, the father of Samson. The way an angel appeared to Zechariah, and also, you may not realize it, also to Elizabeth. The Bible did not tell us about that one of Elizabeth. an angel appeared to these people. That was how come the father of Moses, the mother of Moses, knew he was a beautiful child. And when they saw what God was doing in their lives, they knew that this was true. So Moses was raised with the knowledge from the beginning. Oh boy, you are not anyhow. You are not anyhow. I'm sending you back to the house of Pharaoh because God had arranged for you to live there. Don't let it get into your head that you're a prince of Egypt. You're a prince of God. Do you get my point? Moses will say, yes, mommy, I get it. Daddy, I get it. They planted words in his heart that the boy was not settled in that palace because he was not their own. He belonged to God. Believers, that's how we reason. So when we're handing our children, we don't look at it as a, you know, I want a child that will carry on my chieftaincy title. God said, this is that chieftaincy. When they gave it to your great, great, great grandfather, it put a cap on their destiny. If you carry it, that cap remains on you. Some people don't know. You know, they'll just wake up. They'll just throw you. Listen, don't accept things you don't know where it began from. So this chieftaincy that has been our family for generations. If anyone is in Christ, a new creature. All chieftaincy titles have passed away. You know, Christians don't understand. You know, sometimes we talk about ancestral curses. They don't understand life. Christianity, look, I can see God is moving in the land now. He's redirecting us to true Christianity. Listen, let me tell you where we're going. We are back to the time. We're moving into it now. When people start feeling bad when their children give their lives to Christ. Only those who knew Jesus will not feel bad. Because you know why people don't complain anymore? Because nothing changes. The boy just starts going to church. The only thing they see that's different is that he looks more morally straight. But now he has the same value system, the same standards as everybody else in the family. So they are okay with Christianity. That is not true Christianity. It's called lukewarm Christianity. Listen, the Christianity that bested these big denominations you see in Nigeria today was not like that. That was the Christianity that made families reject people. That was what bested the deeper lives and the redeemed that you know today. That's how they began. The Christianity that made the family wonder whether you've gone mental. This is that they are all happy, say he's now going to church, yet he has the same standard as everybody else. That's lukewarm Christianity. That is the reason why we need comedians to drag people to church. That's why we beg people to come. Go and read the story of the book of Acts. Those men gathered, the Bible says that every man was afraid of them. I mean, if Ananias and Sapphira dies, and you hear the story, you go to that church? No, that is the Christianity, not the Christianity of, forget that. No, believe me, we are going back to that Christianity. No, we are going back to it. We are going back to it. Believe me, I'm giving you the mind of the Spirit of God. Jesus said, I'm tired of what you guys have now. He said, everyone that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Remember, we've been emphasizing that whatever you are seeing me talk about here, it applies to every believer that reads these letters. What does that mean? Lukewarm Christianity is about to be vomited out of God's mouth. Amen. Look, we don't have time to explain some things. Many of the things people cry about is Jesus tired of Christianity in some areas. I'm telling you, many of the things you cry about, he said, you know, this is Islamist. They have God said, listen, you can make your noise about it. But I don't like their Christianity, so I'll make Islamists throw them out. And that's what Jesus said. So if you don't repent and do the works you did at first, I'm coming to remove your candlesticks. I'll remove it from there. And go and check. History has told us many times he replaces them with Islam. That is why UK is Islamic today. As I'm more than 15 years ago, when I heard David Postle preach that message, pretty much 15 years ago, at that time, the number of practicing Muslims and practicing Christians in the UK was equal. 2 million each. Did you hear that? Over 15 years ago, the number of practicing Muslims and practicing Christians in the UK were 2 million each. Over 15 years ago. Why? That's how you now hear the story. I mean, the number of churches that closed is from, I was reading the other day, over 20,000 churches shut down in the UK over a period of like a decade or two. Many of them bought by Muslims. The Arabs will send all money in there and buy. The Kuwaitis will send all money there, buy. Qataris will send all money. Saudis. When their people were moving in droves down to Germany, the king of Saudi that did not let them come into his country came there and gave them money to build 50 mosques. Those who have spiritual eyes know what is going on. God looked at him and said, I am tired of your Christianity. I'm taking your candlestick away from you. Back to what I was saying. So the Lord Jesus is concerned about how you raise your children, what you tell them, what you don't tell them. When you tell your children, be careful of our neighbors, so they are witches. He's angry with you. That you are breeding children that fear. One of the things that the Lord never allowed in my home is for people to use something in the dark to scare my children. They never heard it. They grew up not knowing there's something in the dark. Ojuju will come and catch you. These children, they eat ojuju. Are you getting my point? No, it's true. Ask my son Victory for his name. He'll give you a sentence. Say, I want to hear your full name. His mother reminds him once in a while. This is your full name. Victory over the devil, over death, over destruction, over sickness, over poverty, over all the works of the devil. In summary, victory. Do you understand? Yes. What am I saying? What you tell your children, it matters to Jesus. I'm trying to emphasize, he writes them down. And he's telling you, appraise yourself periodically. Check what I'm saying about these things. Because I have something to say about everything. They are not your children, they are my servants. I've just sent them into your home for training. And you should be able to brag like Jesus that all the ones you gave me, I did not lose any. I hope you're getting my point here.
Yes, sir.
If you see it like that, we treat these kids differently. How you spend your money, like I was saying, Jesus cares about it. And he has something to say. And he says, this area, I don't like it. This area, this is very good. This thing you did, that is good. Never stop doing it. Teach other people to do it. This one is my time. You waste it. There are people that the Lord said, uninstall Facebook from your phone. There are people, yes. There are, I don't have time to be giving you. There are testimonies I don't want to give on the pulpit because people might misinterpret because they are personal things. It's not as if I'm ashamed to say it, just that you can use it to prove a wrong doctrine. There are things I've prayed about before, Lord, what do you think about this? And supernaturally answered within 12 hours. Let me give an example. Okay, very good. Let me tell somebody else's story. At least this story is good. Bishop, where are you? Bishop one day said he was angry. He was driving to his boss, the person he used to work with that time, to go and either talk to the man about something on the road. Suddenly, the car filled with smoke. Did you hear that? You're driving a car, and suddenly smoke started coming from everywhere. So what do? You park. You come down. Open the engine, looking for where the fire is. You didn't see where the fire is coming from. But after some time, the smoke went down, so you went back home. Called the mechanic. Mechanic spent the whole day looking for it. He didn't know where the smoke came from. If you have spiritual eyes, you know that the Lord said, don't go there. Some angel that just bought cigarettes. Blew it into your car. I know the angel is telling you. Look, this one is Rothmans. Next time. Next time is tear gas. If I see you there again, tear gas, now I go use next time. He said he learned his lesson. I want us to understand, the Lord is concerned about the fine details of our lives. Is that concerned? He's concerned about the length of your skirt. God sees my heart, I'm not joking. No, just pray about it sometimes. In fact, Paulson told a story about one man that he used to like to go to movies all the time. So he became a believer. So he started praying. He said, anytime he's going to the movie. So he came to Paulson and said, I don't know, I like going to movies. You think I should keep on going? So Paulson said, there's no problem. Next time you are going, take Jesus with you. The man was going to the movies next time. So he got to the place. 2 tickets. So the lady attendant said, you have somebody with you? Because it could see only one person. For which movie? This one? Yes. 2 tickets. Somebody with you? He said yes. So, where's the person? It's my money. None of your business. Just give me 2 tickets. Let's make a long story short. You know the way Oyinbo can behave sometimes? The lady was like, you don't need 2 tickets. Ah. So she actually, I think the manager overheard the argument. Said, what is it? He said, this young man wants 2 tickets and he's alone. So the manager said, well, we can't refuse. It's his money, so give him 2 tickets. So the guy bought two. I think he told them that one is for Jesus, one is for him. And you know, you start wondering about the guy's mental state. Is he hallucinating? So the guy bought two tickets and told the Lord to come. So to the Lord, that's your seat. So he and the Lord sat down on two seats, one for him, one for the Lord. After a while, he got so uncomfortable. He realized that Jesus was not enjoying the movie. So he told the Lord, let us go. So they got up and left, and that was the last. So he went back and told Paul and said, Jesus came with me last time. I didn't like the film. I'm not kidding about that. I want believers to know that the Lord is close. You see, sometimes when they see some things is a habit. I'm finding it hard to break. You don't realize Jesus is close. If you knew he was close, there are habits that will leave you yesterday. Not tomorrow, yesterday. As you are thinking about it, you realize that you stopped it yesterday. You just realize that you stopped it yesterday. Say, I can't stop smoking. There's no problem. Next time you buy two. Light one and tell Jesus, hold on, let me light it for you. Believe me, you will stop smoking. Mary Kay Ash told the story of her husband who could not stop smoking. He couldn't stop smoking. He went for therapy, went for rehab, did everything. He couldn't stop smoking. And then one day, he was reading the magazine and saw an article on the dangers of secondhand smoking. How your smoking not only hurts you, hurts the people that you love. And she knew that this my husband always reads whatever I read. So she left it where he would see it. The man read it and never smoked again. Because he suddenly realized, I'm not hurting. Look, love is very powerful. He suddenly realized, I'm not only hurting myself, I'm hurting my wife. The drive he needed to stop smoking came to him. Boom! All of a sudden. Just to complete the story, in that situation, it was too late. Because by that time, cancer of the lungs had set in. But he did not diagnose it until 2 years later, and then he died suddenly. What am I explaining? The Lord Jesus is very close to us. He is. You can lie to people. He doesn't even need you to lie to him. He's not even asking you. He knows. When he asked Adam, where are thou? He wanted Adam to know where he was. He was not in doubt. No, he wasn't in doubt. He knew where Adam was. He knew where Adam was. He just said, Adam, where are you? Because Adam did not give his address. Did you notice that? Adam began to tell stories. We heard the sound of your voice, of your footsteps, and we came to hide ourselves. Jesus said, what is he hiding about? We are naked. What's the next question? Who told you? Who told you that you were naked? That is, what you are operating by in life depends on what somebody tells you. Let's not talk about that now. So the Lord Jesus is that close to us. That's the point we're making. We'll be looking at that. So we're saying that, listen, we said this one last time. There are areas where we are very good, and there's no problem with that. Anywhere your life, you know, is in agreement with God's word, it's very good. Young man came to me once. He said, sir, there's a problem. I said, what is the problem? He said, these days when I give people money, I feel very happy. So I said, what is the problem with that? He said, he doesn't know. Is he right? You give an offering, you dash somebody money, you feel happy? He said yes. I asked him a number of questions. I said, do you brag about it in prayer when you are praying? He said no. Do you tell anybody about it so as to, you know, show off? He said no. All that happens is that when you give now, you are happy. He said yes. I said, congratulations, now you are a Christian. I shook his hand. I said, very good. I said, now you are saved. Now you are a true believer. That you can give and be joyful. You know, you are like Jesus now. That is good. So there are parts of our lives in which we are doing what is good. And in those areas, the Lord Jesus said what? Continue. Intensify it. Increase it. Now, there are areas, like we have been saying, in which he says, no, that is not all right. And what he says is that you must repent. Now, he gives time to repent. The fact that nothing has gone wrong in that area for the last few years does not mean he's not noticing. It's just his habit to give time to repent. And he says that if you don't repent, I will have to step in and discipline you. And that's what we are trying to avoid as believers, as we are doing all of this teaching, okay? That, you know, so that he won't have to take it upon himself to flog us into, you know, proper behavior. So last time we began to look at that church in Ephesus, a number of things we saw looking at it, You notice their hard work, how they've been diligent. I know your deeds, he said in verse 2, and your toil and perseverance, and how you cannot tolerate evil men. We said it last time. We are held responsible for what we tolerate. We'll see it later. There was a church that tolerated Jezebel, and they were going to be judged for it. And listen, a believer has a right to be intolerant. You know, in the Western world, they try to paint Christians as if they are bad people because they can't accept other people's opinion. They can't let other people live. Let me tell you the truth. In Christianity, there's a path for it in which you don't tolerate other things, especially amongst believers. That is, you say, are you judging? People say, you have no right to judge. Please, don't get that scripture wrong. When you say, judge not, you will not be judged. Don't get, because if that was it, then Jesus was wrong every day. Paul was wrong every day. When he says, judge not. Did he not used to sit down and judge the Pharisees? Say, see the Pharisees, don't mind them, they are hypocrites. Did he not used to say that? Did he not say, why did he not say, judge not? I will not say anybody is a hypocrite, or you don't know what's inside their heart. You didn't notice that? He never said that. He said, don't mind those people. He said, they are wolves in sheep clothing. Don't mind them. Hypocrites. And Paul will come out and judge. Paul will say, I hear there's division amongst you. Shame on all of you. He did not say, I cannot judge you. What you call division in Nigeria may not be division in America. You never can tell. Division depends on the reference which you are looking at it. What you call division here is unity somewhere else. Let's not judge. Let's just go in agreement. He said, lie. He told them where he heard the story from. So it's not gossip. I heard from the house of Chloe that there's division amongst you. Some of you are saying, I'm of Paul. I'm of Peter. I'm of Apollos. Some say, hey, I'm not of anybody. I'm only for Jesus. The rest of you go to that side. They began, he was judging them, in quote, the way we call judging. He saw a young man, he said, I hear your girlfriend used to belong to your father. And the rest of you are not even ashamed of it. So the kind of sin that we don't even hear amongst the Gentiles, and you are here feeling very happy. He put them in order. He taught people how, he said, if you see any man that is behaving like this, don't associate with him. People now want you to tolerate every kind of nonsense. Say, you cannot judge. You can judge, please, my brethren, in that area. What Jesus said as not judging is, do not pass a condemning judgment. Don't say to somebody, all my enemies, die. That's what he said. That was what he said. Don't say any power. All the people in the other compound, they don't like us. Holy Ghost, fire. That was what he said you should not do. Did he not say they tested an apostle and found him to be false? Yeah. Tell me, you can't judge. If at this my age, I can't judge some things. How will I lead my children? Tell my children, don't worry. Don't judge. Don't judge. If they are kidnapping people in the boot, don't judge them. They just want to help you. Rubbish and nonsense. Let's understand what the Bible calls judging. Basically, what Jesus was saying, listen, is this. You know, don't pass evil condemnation on people. Are you getting my point? Have mercy on people. That's what he was saying. He that shows mercy will obtain mercy. That's the opposite of judging. It doesn't mean that you should be gullible. Every prophet that comes and says, you know, by now you should be hard, self, and God, Jesus will be on your side. So today God spoke to me, said, Pastor, we hear it every day. God is only speaking to them. At the end of the day, God only seems to know about our money. God spoke to me that 50 people today are going to give 100,000 naira each. God has never spoken to you, sir, that 10 of us are adulterers in this place. With all your prophetic unction, you've never come to tell us. As I was coming, the Holy Spirit said, there are two thieves in this place that he will catch today. Then church go empty, you know now. Every man go run. He said, Pastor Kimote, have you heard? That guy, they see vision. No? He said, which kind of vision? He said, I beg, you go there, me and all the preachers are there. Because you know now. You know now. Every time God is speaking to you, it is my mocker he's looking at. And God knows I'm a thief. He doesn't tell you that. God knows I cheat people. He doesn't say anything to you. When I put off my light, God knows who's inside the room. He doesn't tell you. He only tells you about my money. and you want me to believe you're a true prophet, forget that thing, okay? You're as false as I am, two of us. The Lord is good. No, really. What he was saying is this, let's get it clear. The Lord was saying to them clearly, He said, I like this. You don't tolerate evil men. People who pervert the word of God, you don't tolerate them. There are preachers that walk into certain places and people just get up and leave. There are places they say, come. You say, I'm not going. And Jesus will say, yeah, good. You're handling it well. As long as the spirit is right. Are you getting my point? It's not a spirit of pride. There are places you know you should not go. Because you know, once you're done, they pollute your spirit. Neville Johnson described a story of once there's this meeting he used to go for in Australia. Pastors gathered to discuss and pray. He said he used to feel very bad when he's going there, but he used to go simply because he wanted to be a good brother. So one day as he was going, he looked behind, and he's a man who used to see visions, all right? He looked behind and he saw a group of angels following him. So he's like, where are you going? And I don't know whether they spoke back at him or just whether they were following him for that meeting. The Lord wanted to make a point to him. So they walked with him and they got to the meeting. And so they all sat down in different parts of the room. So the meeting began. After a while, he looked for the angels. He didn't see them again. And that's all of them in one corner of the room, as if they were moving as far away from the other people as possible. So they pressed themselves against the wall. So he got up from where he was now and quickly strolled over there and asked the angels, what's going on? And they said, that atmosphere, we can't stand it. Why? Because anytime they gather to talk, they are talking about other ministers. They are gossiping. Ah, have you heard this man has bought a new car? Where did he get the money from? Now, wow, what's going on this is? So the angels came to make a point that the Holy Spirit does not come for those kind of arrangements. That is, he said he had been grieved for a long time. That was the day he got the point. And the Lord doesn't like this gathering. The church in Ephesus, God said they had that on their side. They test people who call themselves apostles. I don't have time now to go into that in details. But listen, Paul talked about the mark of an apostle. It's not how much money he has to show. It's how much he has suffered for the gospel's sake. That's what Paul says is the mark of an apostle. How much difficulty he has taken for the sake of the gospel. So when you find, the church used to find apostles that were just trying to take advantage of the churches, and they refused to tolerate them. They refused. And for that reason, he commended them. Now, having said all of that, he said, you have perseverance. You patiently suffered without quitting. New Living Translation says in verse 3. He said, for my name's sake. He said, but I have one thing against you. This was where it ended last time. I have one thing against you. Now, let me say this again. The fact that everything is going on with you in your life does not mean everything is perfect. In fact, there's a scripture I will start with. Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is what? Perfect. Now, let me rephrase the words of the Lord Jesus. I don't believe that I'll be taking anything away from him. I just want to rephrase it. Pursue perfection as your heavenly Father is perfect. Did you hear what I said? I just want to rephrase that expression, what Jesus said. Of course, why I did that is that I don't believe that, of course, we know the reality. The Bible says he is mindful that we are but flesh. Are you getting my point? He knows that right now, and Paul even will write and say, you are still babes in Christ. James will say, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So we know that people have stages. So what was Jesus saying, therefore? He was saying to them, what's your goal? What must be the thing you are going after? He said, your heavenly Father is perfect, so you must be what? Perfect. So pursue what? That perfection. What am I saying? This church, you see, they had everything correct, apparently. Their perseverance, the Lord Jesus said, was okay. Their intolerance for fake apostles, Jesus liked it. Their ability to suffer for his sake, it was good. If you go further down, he said, this one thing you also have. You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. We'll talk about that later. When we're talking about Jezebel and all of that. And the apostle came to is going to do that one. So please don't miss when you'll be teaching on the spirit of Jezebel and which other one? The spirit of Balaam. He has two special revelations on that. Very soon. I will give you the date when he's going to be sharing it heavily. So I'm going to leave those two. I won't talk about them. Actually, I don't even know much about them. The Lord gave that one to him. So he's going to teach us about the spirit of Balaam and the spirit of Jezebel. So you pay attention to what the spirit is saying through Apostle Okemute to the church in Enugu. The Lord is good. Now, so he said they have that also in their favor, that they hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans. Now, having all of these things, he said, but there is one thing I have against you. Now, what I'm trying to say is that no matter how good your life is, this is what you should do as a believer. Stop focusing on just the areas that are good. Start looking for the areas that you need to improve upon. This is not about self-condemnation. This is about self-improvement. I hope you're getting my point here. Because, see, what I want to emphasize from here is this, all right? Even though everything seemed okay, sometimes the area that you think is trivial is what's most important to the Lord. Do you know that? There are areas you think is trivial. For him, it may be what is most important. This one, now he said, this is the reason I am going to close your church. That's what he said. I will come and remove your candlestick from its place. This is one reason I'm going to close that church down. And what is that reason? He said, you have fallen from a particular place. You left your first love. I've read different commentaries and different explanations on it. Therefore, I like the summary that New Living Translation puts in there. It said, there was a time you loved the Lord fervently and you loved each other fervently. He said, you are not doing that anymore. And that one alone, listen to this, that alone was enough as an excuse for the Lord to close the church down. Think about it. A church that did not tolerate false apostles. A church that persevered even when they were being persecuted. You are getting my point? A church that did not tolerate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which you will see later in other churches, that some of them did, and the Lord was angry with them. This was a church that did not do all of these things. Yet the Lord said, just for one thing, I need you to repent, otherwise I will shut you down. Let me say something here. Like I said earlier, I've realized that the Lord is tired of wishy-washy Christianity, lukewarm Christianity. Listen, no matter how good we think we are you getting my point? He will shut us down if we don't make continual improvement. When Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, he meant it. He meant it. He meant that what I expect from you is that I expect each one of you to behave exactly like God in heaven will behave. But we're not there yet, I know. That is why I expose areas where you are deficient to you periodically. I hope you're getting my point. And I expect that whichever area I expose to you, you must improve in that area. Let me tell you something about how church is supposed to be. You've heard of different movements in churches. Let me give an example. There was time we talked about the holiness movement. At least those are the earlier ones that I came in contact with. The days of SU. And when people like Deeper Life really came on board. Now, you know, let me just say something about every movement in the body of Christ. Please pay attention to this. Every movement in the body of Christ comes to deposit something into the body. Now, after the holiness movement, what came was, well, there are different names we use for it. The Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Ghost movement, then faith movement, okay? And then prosperity with faith, okay? So let's put two of them. The Holy Spirit side, in which the power gifts of the Spirit were so visibly demonstrated. You know, I had encounters with many people who were in that movement. Many of the preachers you know in Nigeria today, young preachers, you know, people like Chris Oyakhilome, that was when they were brought up. They came into that particular dimension, all right? There are many of them, but the most prominent that many of us we know now is Chris Oyakhilome. Okay, Benga Igbafe, he was there too. These are the people I know from the Benin Axis, okay? Chris Oyakhilome was in Ekpoma, okay, but he used to come to our campus. I was a young student those days when he used to come. He was a student in Ekpoma at that time, so he used to come. Then there were other people too. You've heard of Efiobuki. Many of you went to Wafbeck. You saw Efiobuki. Many of them, okay? Kola Iwosho, he was there then. I talked to Kola Iwosho once he came to Enugu. Another day went to see him. You know, we talked at length. He told a lot of stories that I was not even aware because he left school. He left Uniben as, I think, when I was my first year was when he was leaving. But by the time I got involved with the fellowships, he was no longer around, okay? Now, Those things became commonplace. I mean, young men laying hands, people are falling all over themselves, all over the place. One of our sisters will tell you of one Chris Oyakhilome came to their church, in their fellowship, secondary school, and said, we have seen people fall too much. Why must they always fall? Why can't they rise? And they will begin to worship. And you look, men's feet are no longer touching the floor. Literal story. She was a personal witness to it. It was all over the place. One of our brothers in Enugu here told me a story once. He's a pastor in town here. He said once he laid hands on one man. He said, I closed my eyes. He mentioned the name of the guy. He's a well-known actor in Nigeria. If I mention the name, you will know him too. He said, in Enugu, he said, I laid hands on him. He said, but I closed my eyes. So I didn't see what happened. But next thing I knew, I saw the guy far behind there and his shoes were still in front of me. That is, as he prayed for the man lifted into the air, left his shoes behind, and fell backwards. It was all over the place. Now, God came to deposit something with that. Then the time came, closely with that, shortly after, that's when I entered into campus and got involved with these things. The faith movement moved in. Books came into Nigeria. Kenneth Hagin, prominent. E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Copeland, K.C. Price. All those books came in. People like this man in Lagos, CCC, what's the name of this church now? Christ Chapel Churches, all right? Christ Chapel, Tunde Joda. They were teaching faith everywhere. Now, you see something? This is where I'm going. You know the mistake people made? Each movement came to deposit a truth. But you know what they keep on making as a mistake? Solomon said, take hold of one, don't let go of the other. Instead of us to take one, hold it, grab the new one, add to it. We had this childish habit, a new toy comes, we forget the old toy. So that's why we became deficient. Listen, every church that survived had to imbibe something from the new movement. Deeper Life was doing holiness. Trust me, when the Holy Spirit came, Pastor Kumi jumped inside though. Otherwise, they would have disappeared. Now, what am I trying to say? So each time, what the Lord does is to bring something new to improve an area in our lives where we are not meeting up with the standard of God for our lives. But we often make the mistake of not leaving the other one behind. And one of the most dangerous ones we left behind was holiness. When faith movement came, people were using faith to claim every kind of stupid thing. Until now, people are still claiming cars they can't drive. Believing God for things that will not bless them. Holiness will have helped you know how to use your faith. Yes. The teaching of holiness, you will have known that before you start claiming car, claim self-control. Yeah. Because for a long time, trying to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, people were using flesh. People were using armor flesh. People will come to fellowship and say, brothers, sit on this side. Sisters, sit on this side. What are you trying to control? Fleshly passion, right? And men had to sit away from each from the females. Are you Muslims? A friend, I don't know where it's a friend, but somebody told me what happened in their fellowship on campus. You know, sometimes lights just go off. Why this change over to power, you know? Some of those days, never went off in their fellowship. They say, okay, all the sisters go and wait outside. I say, there are things you do. You have shown us that all your brothers are dangerous people. Because NEPA went off. How many minutes would the power go for? That is, we have so little self-control. And in 5 minutes, or more things for spoiler. That's everybody miss. I don't know why you're getting my point. So what will faith have done for us? We will have used faith to download self-control. That's what I'm trying to say. Faith will have been used to download self-control. Faith will have been used to download perseverance. Because the things that are most important in life are spiritual traits, not the physical ones. But you know, because we did not hold on to holiness tightly, what did we do? We started using faith to collect motoka. Covetousness was serviced with faith. Oh, yes. We use faith to service covetousness. God gave me manna. What am I doing with manna? At my level in life, I should be eating manna. I'm the one eating, you know, garlic, onions, cucumbers, you know, and meat from Egypt. Therefore, I declare, meat, come. Meat, come. When you are coming, come with cucumbers. Onions, follow. I'm declaring right now, and I'm seeing my onions coming. And then once in 10,000 experiments, onions will come with cucumbers and meat. We'll not jump to the pulpit. Faith works. And God says, see foolishness. No, that's what, like, look, Kenny Hagin taught something those days. That anything he wanted, he claimed and he got. But I told people that you didn't listen to me carefully. He never claimed a big car, a Cadillac. He used to claim enough money to last for a week. If it was like what you are reading it to be, why did the man... Why was he... Go and read his books. Why was he claiming all those little amounts of money? Because in the background... Now, let me just sit down to explain. In the background of his mind, there was holiness. So his faith had to be tempered so it doesn't stretch into covetousness. But because we left holiness, and that's another mistake, we now turned ourselves to... No, pride was strong. I was there. Pride was strong. They had a name for people who were not in our group. We called them sense knowledge people. SK. They are operating SK. Forget that guy. He's operating SK. It was said with pride. I know the result. What faith was meant to be used for, we didn't use it for it. So listen to me. The flesh flourished after a while. Listen, in fact, my own conviction, when prosperity came in, that was even the most dangerous one. Because prosperity is something only mature people can handle it. Yeah. Prosperity is so close to covetousness. Oh, it's so close to covetousness. So people mix faith. Then when they talk, listen, the gospel of prosperity is a true gospel. It costs money, but everything has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. God did not teach us prosperity so that we'll come start living large. No, God never taught prosperity for large living. The aim was not so that when you are going on the road, you will see the car of the Christian. Was I saying some fairy for this? No, God, I actually believed it at the time. So why you need to prosper? Why you need to prosper? The one brother went to share tracts one day, nobody listened to him. Nobody listened to him. Why? Because he was poor. So he did not listen to his message. He was sharing tracks, but another brother now went with an S600. He parked his car and he put his shoe on the bumper. And as he was sharing out the tracks, everybody was collecting. That's why you need to prosper. And all of us will be laughing and finding it funny. Now it irritates me now if you say that. Because that tells me your gospel does not have power. Paul said, as poor, yet making many rich. Are you getting my point? Paul was poor, but everybody listened to him. He said, I came to you not in the excellency of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of what? Of the Spirit and of power. The Bible says that Philip went to Samaria, and everybody gave attention to what he had to say. Why? When they saw the mighty works done by his hands. If you are doing mighty works, who cares about the kind of car you drive? The longest they go to meet the Babalawos, what does he drive? The bush where they go and bow down and sacrifice, what is there? But they go. Why? There's power. So when the church didn't have power anymore, we needed the cars and the comedians. We need to make our stage beautiful. Flashing lights, everything, sound effects, to draw crowd. People who are better, one of the best paid people now in churches, on the radio. First, you sing. And if you are singing too much, Natalia Bass itself, nothing for you. Because if you are worshiping too much, people will soon leave you. You sing one, and you crack jokes. As for those who come preaching the word, anything they give you, take. A comedian will give them fee. And I don't blame the comedian. You should give them fee. Like I told God will collect his money one way or the other. All of this because we didn't understand what each dispense, each movement was supposed to deposit. Holiness came, we're supposed to collect holiness when it came. So hold on to it. Then walking in holiness is not by fleshly manipulations. It's not. It's by faith. By faith, you start declaring. Sin shall no longer have dominion over me. Sin shall no longer have dominion over me. Your flesh wants to behave one way. Say, sin shall no longer have dominion over me. Your flesh is tempted to do what is wrong. You say, sin shall no longer have dominion over me. By faith, you overcome. By faith, you also overcome covetousness. One of you know, I keep on saying that as a matter of fact. If you are waiting for God to bless you, God wants you to get tired of that desire first before he brings money to you. As long as I say, God, I need money. If I don't get money, I'm going to die. God says, I'm not going to give you. I won't give you. It's when you stand and say, God, apparently, you don't pay attention to this, my money things. So you know what I've decided? I've come to the conclusion that you and money and me, we don't agree. So how can I agree with you? So if what you like is no money, Lord, from your hand, I'm not claiming any money again. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, you don't want to give me money, no trouble. But you are going to give me joy. You are going to give me happiness. You are going to give me, you know, grace. You are going to make me a blessing to other people. Are you happy with that? The Lord will be nodding vigorously. You are going to give me wisdom. So that this is my Father's throne that I'm going to sit on. And you know, you can't play God while you. You know what I call while you prayer? Say, Lord, Pastor Bangi said, when Solomon did not ask you for money, you gave him money. So I don't want to ask you for money. Lord, you say this foolish boy. You think you have sense, eh? He said, right, what do you want? Just give me wisdom. God said, take wisdom. I said, Lord, is that all? So, you can't play him that way at all. No, really. Many things were grabbing for you. You remember the testimony I shared with us on Tuesday here? That brother that was believing God, wanted to go and do a PhD abroad, you know, in robotics and all of that. He said one day, he said there was something, he quoted some things I said in some of these messages, school of prayer we were talking about. So he got to that point. And really, he wasn't joking. He said, Lord, what is it? If I don't do a PhD, will I die? So your name will still be praised. So forget the PhD. What do you want me to do now? The Holy Spirit helped him to understand that there are two things that are your assignment for this season. One, you teach in a school, a university, mentor the young people, mentor them, teach them, instruct them. So he began to do that. You're a member of a church, you're in the youth unit, you are teaching in the youth class. He said, yes, do that with all your heart. He said he poured himself so much into those things that his parents told him that he had lost direction, that he had derailed. Because before, you know, he was always trying his best to write applications, get scholarship. He said he just left everything. And when he did that, he meant it. He said to the Lord, what is the big deal? PhD. Okay, I'm not going to do it. Will I still die? He said, will I die as a result? Of course, I'm not going to die. Your name will be praised. So let's serve you while we can. He left it entirely. Until one day, just got a mail telling him that there was some application I think he dropped long ago. Are you still interested? This time around, before he was looking for a cheap one so he could go. This time around, all expenses paid. So he didn't do anything. And they paid for everything. Only 17 people were selected worldwide. Let me tell you, Indians must have been 1,000 that applied. Let's not talk about the Americans and the Europeans and the Chinese. Yet, out of 17 slots available worldwide, they gave him only one when he wasn't interested. So they said he should come for a Skype interview. He said, I had not studied in that direction. So I don't think I did exceedingly well. After the interview, he told the Lord, if these people give me this lot, it has to be you. Because I don't know what I've said now to impress them. And they gave it to him. They gave it to him. All expenses paid. Tuition, living expenses, flight ticket, a PhD course, design robots. Believe me, faith, we misused it. Because we did not hold on to holiness. What was the power of God? Not for sure. God didn't give us the power for sure. It's not to be laying hands. Let's see how many people have more power. So who will fall under the power? Most of the things that God did in your life, you didn't fall anywhere. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
But sometimes we now thought that was what it was about. No, that's not what it's about. Why? Because we left these things. I'm going to explain something here. The Lord Jesus is trying to build each one of us and all of us corporately into a perfect body. Perfect. That is, you see the testimony you saw in the life of Joseph, who Mrs. Potiphar harassed. Listen to me. Mrs. Potiphar, don't give the impression that because Potiphar was the boss, Mrs. Potiphar was an old woman. I'm convinced, you know, because for something to be a temptation, it must be tempting. I'm sure Mrs. Potiphar was tempting as a person. Before I even get to Mrs. Potiphar, let's even talk about serious things. Money. In the house of Potiphar, Joseph handled money so well. Potiphar stopped checking accounts. The only thing the Bible says Potiphar concerned himself with is the size of his meat. Joseph. He said, which new cook do you have serving my food? You know I don't eat this side of lamb. I eat the other side of lamb. Joseph. You know I react to garlic. Who put garlic in this food? Joseph. The doctor said I should lose weight in my stomach. So I decided to be eating hallelujah diet. Joseph. No, that's what the Bible says. The only thing that concerned Potiphar in the house, a rich man that he was how they handled his food. When they came and said, we need money to expand this area, I said, oh, did you ask Joseph? He said, yes, sir. What did Joseph say? Joseph said, no. No is no now. I can't hear no when they tell you no. That's what concerned him. That same spirit. You know, Joseph carried it everywhere. Yes. He carried it to prison. Out of prison, he carried it to run a whole country. Believe me, there are Josephs that can run Nigeria. There are. And that spirit, God wants it to be in the heart of every single one of his children. He's serious about it. So serious he was, a man told a lie, he and his wife, he killed them in the beginning. That all of us are still walking straight. It shows how God is wondering what is going on. Because we should be dropping dead day by day. Say, how's Brother Lagbaja? He didn't come to Bible study. What? He fell down yesterday and died. What? We're giving offering. Just drop his offering like this. Just die beside the basket. The Lord is good. That spirit of Joseph, you know, the Lord Jesus is building us in the building it up in the heart of every one of us. That spirit of Daniel, that's what he wants to build. And I'm saying to you, he's not resting until he has accomplished it in your life. No, he's not resting. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's what he meant. He's not resting until that thing is accomplished in your life and in my life. He's patient, but I want us to know where he's going. God, look, listen. He does not want any, this is on our white lie. He's going to deal with you until everything you say is so pure that when you don't mean it, it comes to pass. I don't know what I heard I said.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where he's going. Go and listen to our series, the Habitation of God. Look, he's working on it. He's not, look, that's where he's going. That's why he said, take hold of one, don't let go of the other. The Lord is walking in us. So he brings each of those movements and he says, handle it. There is a spirit I'm depositing inside you from each of these things. Holiness came. Please dig up some books that some of those holiness men wrote. Read them. You will find the spirit in it. Forget the fact that some of the things they tried to accomplish went, they were using flesh to accomplish them. That's when you come with doctrines that God did not preach. If you wear earrings, you will go to hell. In fact, the men who said it, or who preached originally, didn't say it. It's those people who did not, just like prosperity. Everything, people carry to extreme. They carry to extremes. Prosperity came, some men twisted it. Go and read the book, The Midas Touch by Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin wrote The Midas Touch to correct some of the excesses that came into the prosperity movement. Because he also taught prosperity. Yet he looked at what his descendants were teaching and he couldn't recognize it. That what are these boys saying? He criticized some of those things that they said, that supernatural debt cancellation. So people will be, you know, raking up credit card debt, and the preacher will say, send an offering to be supernaturally cancelled. Ken Hagin said, listen, if you are owing somebody money and he forgets to ask for it, go and remind him. That's Christianity. Don't say it has been supernaturally cancelled. Go and say, excuse me, sir. I borrowed $3,000. People have not collected it since 2 years ago. Why? They will say, a computer error. Say, no, please, I have come to correct the error. Pay them. If they say, okay, we won't collect, then it is supernatural debt cancellation. but it hardly happened. People will not discipline themselves. They want their debts supernaturally canceled. And according to Kenneth Hagin, why should you want your debt canceled when you are owing somebody? You shouldn't want it canceled. You should want to pay the person. The person needs his money. He wrote the book to balance those things. That's why I'm recommending the book, The Midas Touch by Kenneth Hagin. I said the other day here, let me say it again. Don't want quick money. If they say, give an offering today, and by next week you'll be a millionaire. Say, Pastor, next week is too close to be a millionaire. I don't like the idea. Yeah, the Bible says you must hate quick gain. He said, incline my heart to love your word and not love money. Someone wonder. So when somebody is saying, you will sow a seed. And one man sowed this seed. The following week, his bank account was reading 500 million. And on that one, that's how, last time I went to Lokoja, one man sowed the seed. Following day, they gave him a Bentley. And on that man, he sowed it. According to one of my sisters, just log out. Just log out. Because the man is appealing to what? Your flesh. If he says, sow a seed, and supernatural understanding will come to you, you can even risk it. But once they are massaging your flesh, you should take it easy. Please, go and read Kenneth Hagin's Midas Touch. You see what you know I'm not the only one saying these things. Men who went ahead of us, they've said it. Why? Because people always carry things to excesses. I said in the same manner, some people carried holiness to excess. Holiness, they were now measuring, your skirt to check whether you are holy or not. Whether you wore trousers or you didn't wear trousers. People started measuring that once. Whether you use makeup or you don't use makeup. Then some women who drank, smoked, and because of depression. Now they dreamt. They went to heaven and only men were there. Then where are the women? They said they were in hellfire. Why? Because they had attachment in their hair. So God sent them to hellfire. You know, if you see that kind of thing near me, you know what I would do? I'll tell you, wake up, stop taking drugs. It's not good for you. I can't believe a word of it. It surprised me. People are kind of listening to them. And some people now say, my wife met some people, they now say that, you see, woman don't come out earring for her, from her ears. He removed earrings. So my wife said, what's going on? He said, let's just be sure. He said, just in case. Just in case doesn't please the Lord. Whatever is not done by faith is a sin. Removing that earring will send you to hellfire faster. Trust me. You know, I know this hellfire matter. You know, I wrote a tract on it because people kept on asking me questions. Is it true? Is it not true? I got tired of it. Because initially, if I want the one sister came here, she requested to see me. By the time we're done, this girl is serious. Oh, really, really asking these questions. Now, by the time many people now ask me the question, I have to write that tract, who is going to hell? As a matter of fact, please listen to me. God does not send people to hellfire because they wore earrings or they put attachment in their hair. And I can tell you, the Lord prefers women that wear earrings to those that don't wear. Yes. I'm not saying it's compulsory you must wear. I'm just saying I know the Lord Jesus very well. You know? I know what I'm saying. What he doesn't like is when men start wearing earrings. Even though he won't send them to hellfire, are you getting my point? But just wondering, oh boy, why are you causing confusion in the society? Next time they see you on the road and say, Miss, can you help me? You get angry. Meanwhile, now you know, the world tried to now make it look as if there's no difference between a man and a woman. So the movie stars, the sports stars will now plait their hair and put earrings. So we'll have to be using other methods to decide the agenda. No, believe me, if you read your Bible well, you will understand that. I know what I said, it may sound like a joke, but I know if you ask the Lord simply, he will say, okay, ladies, wear your earrings. Wear your bangles. Guys, please, leave the earrings alone. If you start wearing it, price will go up, and we now won't know who's the man, who's the woman. Yeah, what I've told you is a matter of fact. So that's not holiness. You can look nice and be holy. I know God likes fine things. I can prove it to you. But I just don't have the time. But he wants to set the standards. The world will not teach us what is fine and what is not fine. Once you see a girl decrease like Kim Kardashian, don't follow her. You know, there are mad girls all over the world. Mariah Carey, Kim Kardashian. Name a Nigerian one for me. There are some demon-possessed girls there. Cause the Ojiako. What does that one do? It's not everybody you follow. I know what I'm telling you. I see some of these people. One day I looked at them. Is it Mariah Carey that's her name? I said, this girl, your head is not correct. If I was God, I would send you to hellfire. But he said, judge not, so I will not judge you. Literally, some of those people are mental. Some of them have psychological problems. Others are literal satanists. Through them, Satan injects iniquity into the world. That's a matter of fact. Be careful who you follow. Look, especially when it comes to entertainment. Believe me, select your music. Select your music. Select it. Once they are making sounds you don't understand, and they are singing to funny rhythms, leave them alone, no matter how sweet it is. A lot of those people are satanists. They are. Their dressing is satanic. Their lyrics are satanic. Their beats are satanic. The days of Fela Nicola Kokuti, a lot of things people used to do. People think it's a joke. I still remember once he said, everybody say, Ayakada. Everybody, and I said, do. The man was doing incantations, invoking spirits. You think you're singing? You go to the shrine, we'll talk about it later. It was literal idol worship. The man said it with his own mouth. But you thought he was him, the guy just a Chris, just a joke. He used to do rituals on the stage. But everybody was laughing like saying, nah. Listen, they smoked Indian hemp as incense unto the gods. It was not a joke. One man became a redeemed pastor later. He was delivered from the shrine. He said, in 2 days, I've forgotten how many instruments he learned to play because of satanic possession. A man who didn't play instruments before, he entered it. 2 days later, he was a maestro on the guitar. You think it's a joke? You know, you'll be plucking, kissing, no, press like this. The guy handled guitar after 2 days. It's a bow. When Satan, who used to sing in heaven, before he came down, and he possesses you, you go play anything. When I say, be careful what you listen, that's not a joke. Not everybody you listen to. When they start, just switch off your ear. You know, you can deliberately love something and deliberately not love some things. Just make up your mind. This guy's music, I don't like it. It will sound nice. It will be selling millions and millions of albums. Or this is not downloads, Abby. It'll be people downloading millions and millions. Just say, I don't like your music. Full stop. You come on stage looking like you're a satanist, I will not listen to you again. You come on stage poorly dressed, shaking your breasts all over the place, I will not listen to you again. Why? You have been possessed by the spirit of the age, and through music you want to transmit it into me, and I will say, no! 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 It's simple. Believe me, I'm going to holiness Christianity, serious Christianity. Are you getting my point? Yes. Let's not add the fleshly, you know, trying to subdue the flesh with some things. Not, you know, those kind of things will add to it. That's what spoils it. We're not discussing it now, but Christians, like I was teaching yesterday where I went to minister, that young Christian men and women are supposed to teach the world how to dress and look good. We don't copy them. We will show you how to dress and look good. Because glory is always attractive. No, glory is always attractive. If God gives you ideas on how to dress you, you will come out, man, even the unbelievers will want to marry you. So it's not, the holiness does not mean that I must not look like, this world is not my home. I'm just managing to pass through. No. You can look. Holiness is about purpose. Yes, holiness is defined by purpose. Who am I serving? Who am I living for? Why am I doing what I'm doing? You know, the world today, talking about that dressing thing, they literally dress people up in the world to seduce. That is the aim. The design is seductive. The mind of the designer is, what do we do to, and when I say seduce now, because it's different between seduce and attract. Are you getting my point? Because when God said they should design the temple, the dress of Aaron and the priests, He said, design it for glory and for beauty. That was why they studded with rare, you know, stones, gemstones, 12 of them. God picked the best stones and put them there. He said, I want people to see it and know Aaron is beautiful. Expensive material. So God knows fine things. He created things to be fine. One of our brothers said, one day he called me, said, oh, God, I must go to heaven. I said, what happened? He said, I went to England and I went to the Queen's garden. He said, when I saw beauty, I said, God, if you allow this on the earth, I wonder what heaven is like. That's what they call the Queen's gardens, the royal gardens in England. So God understands beauty. And we believers can download that beauty that when you come out, people will have to nod. It's different from something that's deliberately designed to be sexually stimulating. The exercise of holiness was that once it looks fine, it's ungodly. Don't cut your hair nicely. Don't iron your shirt. Let it look rumpled. Listen. Derek Prince says something there. Derek Prince said, when you dress like that, you invite demons. Yeah. He said, you will be possessed by the spirit of heaviness. And Derek Prince, let me tell you, Derek Prince is not a joker. His wife used to cover her hair all the time as a rule. So don't think that he's a man. No, he was a very conservative person. Extremely conservative. Yet, he says when you dress like that, you will have spiritual problems. You can, you know, you can literally push back the spirit of depression by having a bath, combing your hair. Jesus said it like this, dress up, apply perfume, he said. Look nice and come out. Depression was there, Abba. They can't even keep you in the bed. And you don't have to have plenty. Oh, no, you don't have to. In fact, it's a spirit. The spirit of God to have little and manifest the glory of Aaron. You know it's the spirit of God. You go to the wilderness 40 days, your clothes don't wear out. You know you are blessed. Now, I'm going to say something here. So holiness, we need to retrieve it and use faith to balance it, not throw it away. No, we need to manifest the power of God in our lives. Literally, miracles you read in the Bible, they should happen once in a while. And there are many testimonies, and I have personally experienced, God will just do things where you say, this has to be God. There are some of them I've heard other people share. When you hear testimonies that will humble you, one preacher talked the story once. They were having a lot of visitors in their house. This was years ago. Rice, you know, imported rice was expensive, stuff like that. I don't know how much local program they were doing. He said, that the rice in his house refused to finish. People will come, they will cook rice. It will not finish. They ate the rice for a long time. So one day his wife said, this rice, won't you finish that day? That was the end of the bag. It became empty. Because the woman like, which kind of Abba me rice this one? Not like they say in Yoruba. Which kind of strange rice? And it finished. It's the same man who I told you that once, he traveled down, you know, like Ibadan. This was it's a bit like Enugu, Ibadan, you know. Water supply, most areas not good. I don't know about now. He said he arrived to his parents' place. And the mother said, thank God you have come. You have a car. You'll be using it. Help us to go and be fetching water. He said he felt bad because he had a little baby. You know, with all the water usage, you have to wash and wash and wash. So he told them that, he felt bad. He said, water will come today. So the mother laughed and said, you don't know the part of Ibadan we live in. Number one, nobody has had water for some time. And if water were to return today, we are at the back of the list. So he told the mother, don't worry. Water will come today. Water will flow. So everybody went to sleep. He went to pray. He said he prayed until, maybe they all went to sleep around 10 thereabout. He started praying. But around 11, 11:30, the taps began to whistle, meaning water was rushing down. A little bit of water came out and it stopped. So he left the house, went outside into the compound. So this water, as he's running away, let me pull it back. He continued praying until water began to rush. He continued praying until the flow was good. 12 midnight this time around, he went and woke everybody up, said, come and fetch water. The mother was like, what? So he went to sleep. By next morning, you know that kind of thing, if you've been there, people in America don't know what we're talking about. Those of us in Nigeria, we know what we're talking about. You fetch water even in the spoon. You know, people do, you know, people put bathtub in the house. I grew up, bathtub was a reservoir. I don't know if people have been. No, bathtub. Look, in our house, my father put bathtub in the house. That's your problem. Once I will cap it, when water comes, you open it, fill the bathtub. Thank God. They filled this house. They filled everywhere. Then when he woke up next morning, he saw the reservoir was there. Now we use GP tanks, all these plastic tanks. Those, it was aluminium tanks. So he went there. They opened the aluminium tank for him to see. He said he should open the open. It was full. So he told the mother, watch, mark it where it is. So they close it. So when I'm leaving, check it again to be at that same level. It's still like a week. They use water every day. As he was leaving, they had entered the car. I told the mother, now go and check the water. The mother opened the water. It was still full. Look, you with those kind of testimony, we don't need comedians in Georgia. If you want to crack joke, crack it. But we'll not use it to draw crowd. What am I saying? This Holy Spirit movement came in to teach us those things. That we serve God, His power is available. We serve the Lord, that power is available. So somebody falls sick, doctor says incurable. We like, that's a joke. We call, Bible says, anyone sick amongst you, let him call upon the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anoint him with oil. He said, the prayer of faith will save the sick, the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed any sins, we shall be forgiven him. Even these days, even we Christians, we have more faith in what the doctors say than what the word of God says. But that holiness movement came. The Holy Spirit movement came after it. Let's hold on to holiness. Let's hold on to the movement of the power of God. Faith teaching came to let us know that the word of God works every day in our lives. It's not only the supernatural, miraculous thing that happens once in a while. We can build our lives up by faith to a level where walking in the realm of the Spirit is just a natural thing with us. It's not for grabbing, you know, be using somebody, competing with somebody in the size of a car. No. If I'm addicted to something, I break it by the power of faith and say, nonsense. Sin shall not have dominion over me. The thing runs away. They tell me you are getting old. That's why you're getting tired. That's why you're having problems. You say, no. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me, giving life to my mortal body. That's what faith does. It energizes and activates the promises of God in our lives. With all of this, we are being built up to perfection. I hope you're getting my point. We'll continue from that particular point next time, but I want us to just understand it. Jesus is watching carefully every aspect of our lives, and is not leaving anyone say, okay, this one doesn't matter. Some things we think doesn't matter, it matters. Last time I'll talk about it again. I will not leave this area. Say, the love you used to show for me and for each other, what happened to it? Like last time I talked about it, we are aggressive in studying the word, aggressive in, you know, things. Suddenly everybody has prospered. They are busy. We'll continue from that point next time. I hope you are blessed today.
Yes, sir.
Let's bow down our heads and thank God for the truth that liberates. Let's bow down our heads and thank God for the truth that liberates. Now tell somebody, I was blessed.
I was blessed.
Tell about you. Tell the person,
I'm free.
I don't worry about enemies.
I don't worry about
witches.
I am seated above
in Christ, on the right hand of the Father. Far above principalities,
far above powers,
far above every work of darkness. Say,
my life,
inform somebody,
my life
is hidden
with Christ
inside God.
I am untouchable.
I have liberty in the Spirit.
Say, demons are not my problem.
Witches are not my problem.
They are beneath me in Christ Jesus.
Say, because I am in Christ,
I am higher than them.
Listen, I preached, was it in Makodi about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago? I talked about spiritual rank. Spiritual rank. There's rank in the realm of the Spirit. The highest, of course, is God the Father. But the way Jesus is, he's right next to him. The same level. That's how it is. Next in rank below, you have angels. Angels, again, they have ranks. Michael was described as one of the chief princes. We believe that Gabriel is one of those chief princes. So there are ranks. There are people that are below them. Below their level, you now have Satan and his kingdom. Are you getting my point? Now, in all of these ways, we are believers in Christ Jesus. Where are they? They are inside Christ. Can you see how high they are? So that's why I don't know, people, witches are against me. Many of you have known me for years now. You've never heard us raise that prayer point. Come for our prayer meetings on Tuesdays. Those of you who have not been coming, we don't pray those prayers. We don't. Our liberty, what we experience, dependent upon how much of the knowledge of what God has done for us in Christ that we have. Say it again. Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Say, Christ has set me free.
Christ has
I am free indeed.
I am free indeed.
We are free from ancestral curse. Say, I am free from ancestral curse. Say,
I am free.
Because I'm not of the will of flesh.
I'm
a new creature in Christ Jesus. Born of the will of God. So I am free. Say,
my ancestor is Christ Jesus.
That's how come you are not cursed. Are you getting my point here? Father, we give you thanks for today. We give you thanks. Lord, I bless your people with your blessing.
Amen.
As you depart from here, the Lord will continue to bless you.
Amen.
He will continue to keep you.
Amen.
He will continue to make his face shine upon you.
Amen.
He will be gracious unto you.
Amen.
He will lift up his countenance upon you.
Amen.
And you will have peace on every side.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I read the testimony the other just yesterday. Somebody forwarded it to me. True story, I believe. Of some Islamic militants trying to attack some Christians. They had stoned the pastor the day before. He did not die, he survived. They now wanted to go and attack him where he was. As they were moving towards that place, lions sprang out of the bush and attacked those people. I then killed one or two of them. The rest ran away. So, well, then the lions left. What was strange is that that bush was not known for having lions. I hope you're getting my point. Let me say to you, God is your defender.
Amen.
He will keep you from all evil.
Amen.
He will work miracles to deliver you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen to me, fear must not rule your life. No, don't let fear rule your life. No, no. Every time declare the word of God that the angels of God is surround me. Say, the Lord surrounds me with favor as with a shield. I prophesy to you that deliverance is your portion.
Amen.
From every trouble you are delivered.
Amen.
If you sit on an Islamist bomb, because of you, it will not go off.
Amen.
Not as if going off will have killed you, but God will, because of you, save everybody that's around you.
Amen.
Because you will not die now.
Amen.
You will fulfill the purpose of God for your life.
Amen.
In your going out and in your coming in, safety is your portion.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, in your going out and in your coming in, safety is your portion.
Amen.
God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to pray for somebody. Clarity, understanding concerning that decision, God will make it clear to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will know what to do in that area of life.
Amen.
You need to make a critical decision. You look like you are confused. Listen to me. You will wake up on Monday morning so certain of what to say.
Amen.
You will wake up on Monday morning confident that this is the right thing to do.
Amen.
And you will do it and God will bless you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let's share the grace in fellowship. Everybody must belong to a cult, otherwise you die suddenly. We belong to the cult of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, we're in Jesus. We're in Christ. And that's a cult in itself. Superior to the cult of Ogbunis and... which other cult is it? Ekanka, Mafites, Amok, or whatever it is. We also belong to a cult. So we are not... Cultism is good. Just know the one to belong to. I'm in the cult of Christ. We all offer sacrifices, don't we?
Yes,
we do. We do. Our life is number one, what? Living sacrifice. So we are constantly being poured out as a drink offering. That is number one. Number two, we offer the sacrifice of praise all the time. Everything we live, when we declare the word of God is sacrifice, we eat flesh also, don't we? And we drink blood. If you're a blood drinker, say amen.
Amen.
I love you very much. I'm telling you. The blood of Jesus, that's what we drink. The Lord is good. So every cult must have its own incantation. So we have our incantations derived from the book of the incantations of the Lord, our Bible. The Bible is a book of the incantation of the Lord. When you open Psalm 1, it's incantation. It's dangerous. You know, it was your enemy. Don't worry about the enemies. Worry about the word of God. David said in Psalm 119, verse 23, he said, the princes have gathered to talk about me. He said, me, I meditate on your testimonies. That's all. Let's do some testimony meditation. Let's share the grace in fellowship. One, two, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. Because we are seated high above with Christ, this is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Give to somebody on your left or your right.
This is your season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Give to another person.
Please,
this is your season of multiplication. Give to one more person, please. So whatever you sow, you will receive. Bless yourself. This is my season of multiplication and dominion.
In the name of Jesus.
All right, cheer up, brethren. God bless you.